Hey Dreamers, Joe Pardo here. I hope you all enjoyed episode 100, which came out on Friday. I know I had a great time recording with Al Kessel, and I still can't thank him enough for being there for me. A few quick updates. I added to howtodream.co all the iTunes reviews that you have all been so kind to leave. And after talking to my friend Greg Clunas over the weekend, I would love to add some YouTube testimonials to howtodream.co. So here's the deal. Record and upload your video testimonial to YouTube. Hit the Write to Joe button at the top of howtodream.co. Send me the link to your video with your mailing address, and I will mail you out a copy of my dual CD limited edition Disney music mashup album, Adventuratorium. It normally sells at jpar.co for $10 plus $3 shipping. $2.50 of every CD that's sold goes to Give Kids the World, and I'm willing to donate that myself, and I'll pay the $3 shipping for every CD that I send out for a YouTube testimonial. This gift to you can make a great gift for any Disney fan. You can find out all about Adventuratorium at jpar.co. Thanks again for listening. I really appreciate all of you. And if you enjoy the show, please, please, please share it with people you know and love. I hope you all have a magical week.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey dreamers, it's Ladder Day, where I help you achieve your dreams. Now let's get climbing. Today I have Krista... Oh crap, what's your name? Last name Joy. Krista Joy. Your actual last name is Joy?
That's my middle name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's your last name then?
The last name is really complicated and hard to pronounce, so I just go by Krista Joy. It's easier.
Oh, all right, of DisneyWays.com. Mm-hmm. And would you like to elaborate on DisneyWays?
Oh, DisneyWays is a site dedicated to bringing you Disney products and services, Disney tips, and also little secrets and things like that to really enhance your vacation at Walt Disney World and, you know, kind of give you a native's perspective. I'm born and raised in Orlando, so it's a little bit different. We don't cover, we try to cover things that not everybody else is covering, so that's what we do.
It's a great site, and I've actually had you on the show before, though it hasn't released yet. So on Ladder Day, I like to answer listener questions, and we actually do have a listener question for this episode. And if you have a listener question about which step you should take next in your journey to achieving your dream, please go to dreamerspodcast.com and hit the Write to Joe button. I really want to hear from you guys and ladies, you know, anything I can help you with to achieve your dreams or answer your questions on how to be more productive or... really just anything.
Yeah, and I gotta say, Joe, I love what you're doing with the show. I think it's wonderful, and I know it's already making a difference for people, because I've heard you read some of the listener emails and stuff like that. And I just want everybody to know that Joe is the real deal. What you hear on the show is how he is in real life. He's absolutely that awesome in real life and just down to earth, and everybody should know that you're the real deal. I think that's important.
Well, thank you, Krista. So awkward and trying not to stutter over myself.
Well, aren't we all? This podcasting thing is, it's a challenge. It's not easy.
Well, today's question comes from Buzz Lightyear of the Buzz Lightyears. Dear Joe, I have a decent paying job that I've been working for at a long time. And while I'm happy, sometimes I wonder if I would be happier doing something else. How do you feel about this? Should I give up my job and my salary to try something else?
Okay, so Buzz, I don't know what's going on here, but I have a few thoughts for you. It's important to take a leap of faith if you have something in your heart that you know you want to do. I think that's number one. Ask yourself if you have... a plan. Like, you don't want to just quit your job and then decide what you want to do and then go do it. So during this time, what I would be doing is just kind of looking inside yourself and figuring out what makes you happy. You know, what would you be willing to do for free if you had to? Kind of make a list, narrow it down, and figure out what kind of lights your fire to begin with before you take that leap of faith. I have some other thoughts too, but I think I would start there. What would you think would be the first step, Joe?
Well, I think those are great steps to take, you know, figuring out what is it that you want. I mean, in my personal situation, I didn't know what it was that I wanted. No one had ever really asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? It just kind of assumed that I was going to work at my family's business. And now I'm making steps towards not doing that. But it took a while to get to the point where I'm at now, which really still at the starting line of the whole process of figuring out what is it that I want to do. And it is something that you're expected when you're growing up to figure out, whether it's through school or through hobbies or sports or with coaches. Really, I'm envious if you know what it is that you actually want to do, because I still am trying to figure that out myself.
Yeah. Well, we all are. I mean, that's a huge factor. People making that first step, which is figuring out what it is that you love. But I think some good tips that I've heard are just think back to your childhood. Think back to what you really loved doing. Like, did you go fishing a lot? Did you, you know, when if money were no object and you won the lottery, what would you spend your time doing? And what would your perfect day look like? If you could have a perfect day and just write it all down from the moment you wake up till you go to bed, what would you do during that day? And that's a couple of good things to kind of get your brain working and just kind of decide, you know, what you might have a passion for, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I do. Like DJing, you know, is something that I do, and it's something that I would love to do as a profession, but it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of late nights, and not really conducive for somebody who's married. You know, it's not a...
maybe a family-friendly profession?
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. But if it's something that I wanted to pursue, what the first step I would take after figuring out, okay, if it was DJing I wanted to do all the time, 24/7, you live, eat, breathe, and sleep DJing, the first thing I would do is start saving money. I would figure out how much money it takes that I could live off of and how much I could save to make that happen, so that when I take that leap, I know, like, hey, I have 6 months to make this work on the money I've saved. I still have a backup plan of I can go back to my old job, or I could get another job in the same field, even though I wouldn't be happy. You know, I don't have to go live on the streets because I just gave up my job and that was the only job for me ever, period.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think maybe step one is figuring out what you would love to do. And then step two might be figuring out what realistically you could actually do. And then, you know, the next thing, of course, is to start making that backup plan, having that parachute, and just preparing yourself. Because you know what else that does? It gives you a motivation to keep going. Yes, you hate this job right now, but if you can look ahead and see this deadline is coming, and you're saving up, and once you hit that certain goal, whatever it is, if you need to have, you know, it depends on your life situation, however much you need to have saved up. But just, you know, set that goal, and that kind of gives you some hope, wouldn't you say? It kind of helps you get through that day job that you can't stand right now, right?
Right. And the other great thing is get started now while you still have that day job.
Yes.
You know, figure out the smallest common denominator of things that you could do to start making your dreams a reality, and start doing them now while you still have the security of a job.
Right. Absolutely. So it might take burning some midnight oil, right? You're going to be tired after working all day. But this, again, this is a great way to gauge whether you really love this or not. Is it your dream? Because if it's fun for you and you enjoy it, then, you know, it's okay. It makes it, even though you're tired, you're okay doing what you're doing, because you know you're building your dream. You know you're building towards doing what you love full time. Makes it a little easier when you're enjoying what you're doing. I think you can't just go into things because of convenience, or you think that's what people want or things like that, because that will burn you out really quickly. You got to do something you enjoy.
And after that, you know, hopefully you're able to figure out how it is you're going to make the money that you need to make. and reduce your expenses along the way so that you can make that work for that 6 months or that year or however long you've given yourself to make it work. And hopefully you're a lot happier. The other side of that is staying focused once you have committed to leaving. You have to stay focused on, this is why I'm doing this. And you can keep reevaluating that. Don't feel scared that, oh, people are going to judge me because this is going to fail and I'm just going to wind up going back to what I was doing. You know, a lot of people don't even try, and just trying puts you in a really small percentage of people out there in the world.
It's so true. Yeah. So just kind of working towards that goal and I love what you said, just lowering your expenses too, because that's going to kind of help you build that nest egg for that day when it does come and you're ready to take that leap.
Yeah, I think that we pretty much covered it. And I hope that answers your question, Mr. Buzz or Mr. Lightyear.
Yeah, to infinity and beyond. Good luck.
So for today's topic, we're going to talk about being friendly and some of the ways that that can benefit your life and benefit all the people around you and really open up doors for you to find people that you didn't even know existed.
Yes, it's so true. So true. So I think a real challenge for me, Joe, and I don't know how you are, but I'll find myself kind of involved with my phone a lot. Like I have to consciously think about, okay, I need to look up now and look around me and see who's here that I can talk to. And because being sociable is really important to your success. I think pretty much anything you end up doing, even if it's, you know, you want to stay home and be a computer programmer, well, you still need clients. You still need to connect with people so you can work for them and add value to what they're doing. So I think being friendly is huge. And just also just taking that step to make sure that you're smiling at people, you know, even if it's not in your nature, just smile. Even if you don't say anything and smile, then you're one step ahead. That's really important.
I think that if you're not used to smiling, I think you should try practice smiling, not just in a mirror, but go to people that you trust and like, hey, is this creepy? Does this make you feel awkward? Does it make me look awkward? And really work at it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good tip. And I think a lot of being friendly is just realizing that other people around you all have an invisible sign around their neck that says, make me feel important. And you know, if you take your mind off of yourself and just being paranoid about how you look and how you feel and just turn that around and kind of realize that, you know, the person next to you needs to know that they're special and important. And if you just focus on making sure you kind of give that to them, then that's being friendly is covered right there, I think. Just putting others before yourself is important, an important part of being friendly, I think.
Yeah. A few weeks ago, I was actually in an accident. I was driving home from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania with my wife, and a deer came out of nowhere. I mean, literally, like, just showed up on the road, in the middle of the road, as if it was like a pop-up cardboard cutout that just popped up off the street. And, you know, we hit it. I saw it go shoot off to the left. We pull off, and, you know, fortunately, everybody was okay. This really, really, really nice guy named Joe pulled off about 2 minutes after it happened. He saw the deer. He saw, you know, our car, you know, on the side of the road about a quarter mile away down. He stops, gets out, and, you know, he's asking if everyone's okay. It was super cool of him to stop because, I mean, there was tons of other cars that didn't stop. And, you know, he called the cops while I was trying to figure out the situation with the tow truck. I eventually had to find out that we had to use a tow truck that was, because it's a turnpike, so we had to use their tow truck, which was actually good because it was super dark. I mean, there's no lights anywhere. And we were even fortunate to have a shoulder to pull off onto because a lot of that road up there is under construction and there's no shoulder for large stretches of road. Anyway, later that night, I grabbed all my hockey equipment and our bags and everything, you know, popped it into the tow truck. He takes us over to a hotel where I was waiting for a very, very, very good friend, Mike, who came up from where we live about an hour and a half away to come pick us up. And this guy walks into the lobby and he's like, oh, whose hockey sticks are those? And I was like, oh, it's mine. And you got to keep in mind, this was at like 12:30 at night, 1 o'clock in the morning. So there was nobody else in there. And we started talking, and, you know, it turns out he's a Detroit Red Wing alumni, and his brother is actually the assistant GM to the Carolina Hurricanes, which is pretty awesome. But, you know, it all started because being friendly, having a conversation, not having my head down buried into my phone, realizing, you know, that somebody wanted to talk, and even being offered a beer as the guy was going up into his room to go get changed because he just got off of work. And then came back down to talk with us. And getting to hear all these great stories that he had to share, I mean, it was just awesome. I hope to have him and his brother on the show in the future. So
awesome.
You know, I wasn't even supposed to be there. I was at that point, I should have been home in bed sleeping. But, you know, the worst situations can turn out to lead to new friends from literally all over the world. I mean, he lives in Detroit. So
yeah.
It was by chance that he happened to be staying there, and he happened to come in from work at that particular time. And I happened to grab all my hockey equipment because I had a game in the morning, and they happened to be there.
It's awesome. It's so true. And I mean, look what this could mean for your business and for your dream. It's all because, you know, you kind of thought outside yourself for a minute, connected with this person, and, you know, you just never know what being friendly can bring to your life and to your goals and to your dream. And you don't want to go into it like that. You want to do like Joe did, where you're just, you know, you're not thinking about that stuff. You're just being friendly and kind to someone else, because it just, it always comes back. You know, when you put good feelings out there and good things and positive vibes out there, it always ends up coming back to you.
Oh, you know, a good takeaway from that story, though, is the lady who worked behind the counter, actually, when he went up to go to his room, she came over and apologized that we were being bothered. And I'm like, really? Like, are you serious? Well, there was a wedding going on that weekend, and there was, I don't know if she thought that maybe he was part of the wedding, and because, you know, lots of drunk people were milling around in and out of the lobby, but no, I was like, no, it's cool, don't even worry about it. This guy, you know, we'll talk, and we got a new friend out of the deal.
Yeah.
And we talked until my friend Mike got there, and then continued to talk for a little bit after that.
Wow. That's so great. That's a classic example. And it's not easy. A lot of people are shy. I know I'm shy, you know, but that's not something you strive to be. You strive to be an outgoing person, and so you just have to take baby steps and kind of work on coming out of your shell. And another thing that I often think of is, if there's somebody you admire and you admire how personable they are and how they treat other people, just ask yourself, what would that person do right now in this situation, you know, and try to kind of mimic what you think they would do. It kind of gives you a little confidence to think about it that way.
I think that people should strive to let themselves be known to other people. You know, being shy is, I mean, I'm shy from time to time. It depends on the situation, depends on the people I'm around. It depends on if the people that I'm around are people who think that they can only stand out by making fun of others or putting down others. Then, I tend to try to, you know, it makes me clam up because it's like I'm just going to be the next target. But I will say that at that point, I try not to be around those people very much longer. And I try to move on from those people and not make time for those people.
Yeah. Well, and normally, and you have to recognize, not that this makes it any easier, and I would do the exact same thing, Joe, just like, okay, I'm not going to be around you anymore. But just realizing that usually that stems from a problem in their own life, their own shyness, their own sense of self-worth. If they have to do that to make themselves feel important, there's a problem there. So that's when you just kind of have to think to yourself, well, I have mercy for this person. I feel bad for them because something in their life made them think that this is the proper way to behave, you know, in order to inflate their own ego. So there's something wrong there. So just if you kind of look at it like that as you're walking away, it might help. And then, yeah, just, I would do just what you did. Just go the other way and avoid them. You don't need that in your life. So
definitely not. And I've lived long enough where that was a big problem for me, was not being able to walk away from those people because they were attached to other people. But, you know, it's like being the butt end of jokes all the time is not conducive for me, and it sucks because it's like there's no real reason for it. You know, I like to stand out for my merits, not because I can put other people down.
Right.
And even if it's just a joke, you know, a joke, like, yeah, you know, you joke or banter or whatever, but, you know, it's like when it's every time, it's like, okay, there's a problem here. They say kill them with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're doing the same negative things back to them to try to, you know, outshine them in a negative way.
Right.
So, because people do realize and people will recognize, it sometimes can take time. And usually the older you get, the less you care about what other people think. But if in some cases, depending how old you are, that could be a long time from then.
Yeah. And it's really hard to imagine getting to that place. But also, too, a lot of times people that are like that, guess what? Everybody knows they're like that. And they're not going to put value in what they're saying, because most of the time, you know, they're looking at that person and they're like, well, that's his issue. That's what he does. It doesn't really mean there's really anything wrong with the person he's making fun of or giving a hard time. They know how that person is if they're friends with them. So they're not putting a lot of merit into what that person is saying, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. So, and I think the last part that I would say is that being friendly helps and being true to yourself helps attract the right kind of people that you want to be around. And that is just super, super important to me. You know, you don't need to waste your time trying to attract people that you wouldn't want to be around or want to be associated with. Worry about, you know, you and being you, and you will attract those right kinds of people. And those right kind of people will pull out the best in you, which probably is a lot less shy than you would be in normal circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. It's important to be friendly, a crucial part of building your dreams and working towards your goal. We can't do things, real things, I don't think you can do totally alone. You always have people there supporting you, friends by your side. So you want to work on building those relationships if you can. And, you know, my brother once told me, if you're in a room with 10 people, chances are at least two of them aren't going to like you. And that's just kind of a thing. It's just how it is. But if you're true to yourself, you know, and you have self-confidence, then you're like, okay, that's okay. You don't have to like me. I know who I am. I like me. I know I'm a good person. And that's really what matters. So you can't please everybody. I'm really speaking to myself louder than anyone, because this is something that I struggle with a lot. I want everybody to like me, and they're not always going to, and that's okay. We have to learn to move on. There's other people in the world.
Yeah, 7 billion of us.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show today, Krista.
Thank you for having me, Joe. This was so fun.
All right. Well, again, if you guys have a question, please go to dreamerspodcast.com. Click the top left-hand corner where it says Write to Joe. It's a giant button with a giant yellow pencil. And send us your questions so we can answer them and hopefully help you out in any way that we can.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.
Today's background music's been provided by Tom Amin. You can check out more about Tom Amin at tomaminmusic.com.